that beauty I was crushing on my mind. Be
trees falling and free falling in the stock market. Welcome to the calmer atmosphere of Clockwork Wireless on 90FM. Thank you very much and good night, Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA. This is Clockwork Wireless on 90FM, and Terry Anderson here to thrill and delight you once again. Oh dear. A glance at the headline in the Times on Tuesday might have got you distinctly worried. What caused the worldwide bloodbath, it screamed. What did it refer to? A nuclear attack? The end of civilization as we know it? No. The stock market had lost a few points and brokers were only making millions instead of billions. This week in the city, the yuppies got their come yuppance. Yesterday's whiz kids are today's was kids. Insider dealers are now being dealt with inside Her Majesty's prisons. And those that thought that Keith Best, the ex-Tory MP convicted of multiple share applications, got off lightly, can at least take comfort in the fact that all his telecom shares went down in value this week. Well, this is Clockwork Wireless, and in a busy programme tonight, we have music from Jackson Browne and Tom Robinson. We have a track from the new Fleetwood Mac album and a track from the new compilation of Paul McCartney's greatest hits. We'll be looking into the current spate of competitions being run by Middle Brown newspapers. As an edition of Clockwork Wireless News, there's just no getting away from it. We'll be reviewing a new book published next week on the history of two great comics. And this week, we're featuring the ups and downs of the life of a roving news reporter. And after all that, the intrepid Birdman will be along to set the world to rights. And we'll be talking to him a bit later. Well, we just heard from Bruce Springsteen there. Now, here's an unusual arrangement of a track that appears on the Born in the USA album. Step into the ring, please, Big Daddy, and their version of Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark.
I'm going to start a fire. I'm just a gun. I come home in the morning, I'm just a gun.
I go to bed just feeling that same old way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby,
I'm just a gun.
I think I could use just a little help. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
I'm just a gun.
We sit around getting older. There's a joke out there and I think it's on me. I shake the world off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the laugh's on me. Dancing in the dark.
Start a fire. Come to fire.
On a day like today, we'll go dancing in the dark. In the dark.
Start a fire.
Pardon me, may I have this dance?
Tremendous stuff. Well, the battle for the middle ground of daily newspaper circulation continues apace, with the Daily Mail today and the Daily Express clambering over each other to grab the attention of the upwardly mobile middle-class reader. Earlier this year, the Daily Mail paid £120,000 at an auction for a Buick car that once belonged to the Duke of Windsor. And with what must have seemed a good idea at the time, they've been running a competition over the last week or so, offering this car as a prize. What the Daily Mail have somehow failed to inform their readers is that this car has proved extremely troublesome to actually go anywhere. Earlier this week, the car broke down on Blackfriars Bridge in London, and a posse of perspiring Daily Mail hacks were spotted pushing their glorious prize over the bridge towards the Daily Mail's offices. This fact was reported with glee by the steadily improving Today newspaper, who themselves are currently running a competition for readers with a BMW as a prize. The Daily Mail, stung by the criticism of its rivals, has been hauling in several minor personalities to be photographed standing next to this unfortunate car of theirs. And the other day, they arranged for Stirling Moss to take the car out onto the circuit at Brands Hatch for a test run, or test push, maybe more accurate. Breathlessly, the Mail's reporter wrote that the car was in tip-top form. He described how the car could get from 0 to 60 miles per hour in only 60 seconds. 0 to 60 in 60 seconds, I think even my car could do better than that, and that's even without Daily Mail reporters pushing it. Meanwhile, the Daily Express turns itself inside out to try and attract readers to halt its relentlessly sliding circulation. With much ballyhoo, the Express proudly announced that they had signed up Miss Nina Mishkoff as their new Star TV columnist, and Miss Mishkoff hardly lasted 3 weeks before a clash with Nick Lloyd, editor of the Express, meant that their new star disappeared just as quickly as she arrived. Well, in common with the Daily Mail and Today, the Daily Express is currently offering its readers the chance to win a car in a competition. It is, in fact, a Peugeot car. But what the Daily Express hasn't told its readers is that it was the car that they had given Nina Mishkoff as her official staff car when she joined the paper, only to reclaim it off her when she left the Express last week. So whilst you can win from the Daily Mail the clapped-out old jalopy that used to belong to the Duke of Windsor, you could also win a second-hand car that used to belong rather briefly to Nina Mishkoff, courtesy of the clapped-out Daily Express. Well, we have a different area of news reporting in a moment as we establish the problems of being a radio or TV reporter on the spot where the action is. It's coming up.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
My eyes.
There's good old Jackson Brown, Doctor My Eyes. I recommend contact lenses. Now, when news reporters are out filming a piece for inclusion in one of the day's news broadcasts, the pressure is on. They're expected to provide a clear summary of the event they're covering with a minimum of fuss and delay. Sometimes, however, things can go wrong. Something can go wrong. So the technicians will dispense with any outtakes and ensure that the reporter's best attempt is the one to be used when the news is transmitted. Well, that's the theory. But when ITN's Brent Sadler reported the piece we're about to hear, he found himself struggling harder and harder the longer his report went on, finally getting the better of him until he comes to a halt, uttering a word not generally used on News at 10. Well, Mr. Sadler immediately tried again and this time produced a flawless report. However, when the time came for transmission, instead of the second take being used, it was the first effort that was transmitted. But listen out for Pamela Armstrong's strong recovery, and it's a pity we can't see her rather worried expression on the radio.
Mr. Sadler reports direct from the Foreign Office.
Here at the Foreign Office, officials said that the Russian ambassador was told last week that three other officials would have to be expelled on top of the other two Russians. The idea was that this would have been done quietly unless the Russians retaliated to the first two expulsions. The Foreign Office decided to announce that three more Russians have to go specifically because the Russians did retaliate. So the Russians who are being kicked out of Britain are Captain Viktor Zaykin, an assistant naval attaché, and Captain Viktor Gibashov, an assistant military attaché, and Oleg Belovsentov. The Foreign Office said they were asked to leave because of inactivities. Shit.
The Soviet leader, Mr. Gorbachev...
As Brent Sadler on News at 10, when the expletive was not deleted. Well, as our regular listener knows, we never worry about background noise on these programmes. I believe it adds to the actuality or even reality of the thing. Some people, though, abhor any extraneous noise of any kind. George Bernard Shaw, for example, always loathed background music as he ate a meal. And once in a restaurant, a trio of musicians was playing, and realising that they had an important guest in their midst, one of the musicians approached George Bernard Shaw and asked him if there was anything in particular he would like them to play. Yes, replied Shaw, dominoes. This is Clockwork Wireless on 90FM, and we have an address. You can write to us at if you'd like any of our bits and bobs, information sheets, photos. These are really in full swing now, and they're jolly good as well, well worth having, and also tapes of the programmes and various other things you can write in for. I'll tell you a bit more about what you can have a bit later on. George Bernard Shaw, come back, all is forgiven. But the address to write to for these things is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. That's Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. That's our address. Well, talking of extraneous noise, this is not some of that. This is Fleetwood Mac from their new album Tango in the Night, and an excellent track called Everywhere.
I wanna be with you.
I'm just a daydreamer. It's Fleetwood Mac and Everywhere, written by Christine McVie. And it's from Tango and Night. Excellent album. Everywhere. Phew. Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. I see that in the Cricket World Cup, taking place at the moment in India and Pakistan, they're carrying out very intense security checks. Apparently, there's been a threat that cricket bats may be implanted with explosives that detonate when the cricket bat comes into contact with the ball, in which case none of England's batsmen will be at risk, of course. Let me just mention again that you can hear my former colleague Tim Allen on Radio Caroline on 558 metres, medium wave, currently 1 to 5 in the afternoons, I think. And jolly good it is too. But when I'm not listening to young Tim, my radio is generally tuned in the direction of Radio 4. And one of the highlights of the day on Radio 4 is quite often the afternoon play, although it can at times be rather a doom-laden affair, just what you don't need on a rainy Monday afternoon. But on Thursday of this week, however, the play was the most surreal piece of nonsense I've heard in a long time. It featured Graham Seed, who used to be Nigel Pargiter in The Archers, and currently having a stab at the role of Charlie Mycroft in Crossroads, and also Claire Falconbridge, who used to play Miranda Pollard in Crossroads. Well, these two were cast in the roles of fish, pondering on the meaning of life in the middle of some murky lake, and they decide to go and seek the advice of their uncle, who turned out to be played by the bloke who has the role of Nelson Gabriel in The Archers. Well, it all made for very bizarre listening. At first I thought I was hallucinating that all these soap opera people were acting the part of fish. I thought maybe someone had drugged my afternoon coffee. It was probably very enjoyable and entertaining for any fish that happened to be listening. But incidentally, I think it was broadcast with a little extra volume in case any of them was a little hard of hearing. Oh, God. Returning now, very quickly, to our feature on roving reporters. Many of today's top journalists began their broadcasting careers on local radio. Some of these local stations are run on very low budgets indeed, so that when a reporter is sent out to cover a story, a radio car may not be available, in which case the journalist must make use of whatever resources he can find. Here's Michael Cole, long before he became the BBC's court correspondent, filing in a story from the middle of nowhere.
Workers at the CAV car components factory at Sudbury in Suffolk have been meeting this morning to consider a call for the dismissal of Mr. James Goad. We're going over now to Michael Cole at the factory.
The mass meeting voted overwhelmingly a few minutes ago that Mr. Goad should be dismissed from the factory. Mr. Dutton told the workers that their jobs could be in jeopardy if Mr. Goad was allowed to continue at the factory.
Michael Cole.
But I'm right now.
Michael Cole in a phone box and quite clearly running out of 10 pence bits. This is Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. Lots still to come after Tom Robinson.
Only the very young and the very beautiful can be so aloof. Hanging out with the boys, all swagger and poise. I don't even care what other people are there. I just stare and stare and stare. I see your shadow in the swimming pool. I see your face in the shaving mirror. Time and time and time again, I follow your footsteps so quietly up the back stairs. And I hope and I pray you ain't never gonna find me there. Smooth skin and tenderness, long ago on a dark night. Wish I could see you once again, just to remember that it was true. I wanna be still beside you, quiet and still beside you, listening to your breathing and feeling your warmth again. I could stand another 10 years of this fighting. All this stabbing and wounding, only getting my own back. I don't want to batter you to your feet and knees and elbows when I'm kneeling by the candle
at the foot of my own bed. Corresponding disasters every night on the TV. Sickening reality keep gripping me in its guts. All my friends talk and joke, laugh about Armageddon. But like a nightmare, it's still waiting there at the end of each and every day. I could stand another 10 years of this fighting, always stabbing and wounding, only getting my own back. Later that same evening, when we were out in the car talking, I suddenly wondered who the hell it was we were trying to fool. 'Cause you were the first one I ever wanted, and it's you I come home to at the end of every day, like a mother sucking baby.
Nobody panic. It's all under control. Tom Robinson's War Baby. Well, the dramatic downturn of share prices dealt a blow to the government's philosophy of the great share-owning democracy. It looks now as if BP are going to have so many shares left unsold, they'll have to start giving them away free with every 5 gallons of petrol. On the other hand, of course, if they do have some left over they need to get rid of, they could always get Keith Best to apply for a few. That'll get rid of a few of them, I'm sure. On December the 4th, a public figure celebrates his 50th birthday. He appears not to have shaved at all in that time and has a fan club of nearly 400,000 members. It's not Bob Geldof. It is, in fact, Desperate Dan of the Dandy. And joining him in the celebrations will be Dennis the Menace, a mere lad of 36 years. To celebrate the golden anniversary of The Dandy and the Beano, first published 50 years ago this year, DC Thompson have published a commemorative book, The Dandy and the Beano, 50 Golden Years. It's an excellent book that I would be delighted to find in my Christmas stocking. It brings back memories of an age when the verb to bonk meant a biff on the nose as Dennis gave Walter, the eternal softy, something to squeal about. And whilst many characters have survived the years, others, conceived in more innocent times, have quietly retired. A character from the early days of the Beano was a chap called Cocky Dick. He's smart and slick. That's what it said at the top of the page. Well, I don't think Cocky Dick would be allowed within the covers of the Beano today somehow. Maybe he could find a home with Sunday Sport or the Daily Star, though. Well, if you want to rediscover the adventures of Corky the Cat, Snitch and Snatch, Keyhole Kate and Hungry Horace, even read the very first Desperate Dan strip ever drawn, He's the Toughest of the Tough, Watch Our Danny Do His Stuff, said the rhyme. Well, then, chums, I heartily recommend the Jolly Japes and Fearless Fun to be found in The Dandy and the Beano, 50 Golden Years, published next week by DC Thompson & Co. Limited at £4.95. And also look out for an upcoming documentary on the comics in a programme in the Arena series on BBC TV. Well, now for our final example of the trials and tribulations of the roving news reporter. It's the accepted practice these days for a reporter to finish his or her piece with a final flourish, giving his or her name and the location, something along the lines of, "This is Kate Ady getting up Norman Tebbit's nose in Libya for the 6 o'clock news." Well, the one essential ingredient in this is to remember where on earth you are.
Patricia Hearst story by Patricia Hearst. It's not over yet. Pat O'Brien, Channel 2 News.
Where am I?
Where are we, seriously?
Lindenville. Pleasantville?
No.
No, not.
What's the name of this place?
John Simpson, BBC, wherever the hell I am.
Anytime, any day, you can hear the people say, well, I don't know, but I say love is kind. Soldier boy kisses girl, leaves behind a tragic world, but he won't mind. That people will find a way to go no matter what the man says. And love is fine for all we know. For all we know, our love will grow. That's what the man says. So won't you listen to what the man says? He said,
Listeners, I'm really looking forward to my bit of chocolate cake. I'm really getting pangs for my chocolate cake, which I'll have in a little while. That's Paul McCartney from the new Greatest Hits compilation album, All the Best. Listen to what the man said. I say. Now, referring back to that address and the stuff that you can get by writing in, we do now have program tapes available, as I mentioned over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of demand for these, so we are able to cope with it, though. Don't you worry. And apparently, the price of these is £5 if you want a full two-hour broadcast on tape, or if you just like 1 hour, it's £3.50, and that includes post-packing and all the other bits and pieces. So all you have to do is write in and say which week you would like... And we'll pack it off to you, and you can listen to Clockwork Wireless with all extraneous noise included in the privacy of your own home at any time you like. And we also have now these information sheets with photos on them, which are well worth having in themselves. They're now sort of finally ready. Most of the people here are documented in these sheets, and they're quite good. So you can have those, or the tapes, or if you'd just like to write in for a dedication to have your name or name of your friends mentioned next week, obviously we'd be delighted to do that for you. The address is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, and for new listeners, I'll spell that, C-R-E-A-S-Y, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, S-E-1-4-S-L. Well, I see the weather forecasters are still getting stick for failing to spot the hurricane last week. On Friday, The Sun had a feature, 20 Things You Never Knew About Weather Wally Michael Fish. But the only thing is, I don't think I want to know anything about Michael Fish, really. But on another track, a clue to the reason for the breakdown of the latest arms control talks between the superpowers may be found in a story filed by the Reuters news agency this week. Mikhail Gorbachev may be in a bad mood because he can't get any toothpaste. Reuters reported that Muscovites are hunting high and low for toothpaste, the latest product in short supply, despite Mikhail Gorbachev's attempts to serve the consumer better, Izvestia reported last Monday. The government daily said that it had been suggested the shortage was caused by alcoholics drinking homebrew based on toothpaste. But this could not be proved. State plans for toothpaste production had fallen short of demand for years because of insufficient raw materials, it said. This year, 480 million tubes of toothpaste would be produced, 6,000 tonnes less than needed, it said. So this may be why George Shultz was given the brush off. If so, I suppose Mr. Gorbachev will have to grit his teeth and grin and bear it. When Sandy Lyle played Ian Woosnam in the final of the Suntory match play golf final on Monday, much was made in the media of their lasting friendship that dated back to their younger days. But on Monday's 6 o'clock news on the BBC, Sue Lawley conveyed the impression that their relationship was rather more intimate.
The Welsh golfer Ian Woosnam has become the first Briton to win the Suntory World Match Play Championship. Woosnam beat his boyhood friend Sandy Lyle at Scotland at Wentworth today by just one hole. But as Rob Bonnet reports throughout the day, either of the old rivals could have taken the title.
That's Sue Lawley playing herself out of a deep bunker on the 6 o'clock news. Oh, now here comes another one. Now, if there's a sound that will always evoke memories of this autumn, it will surely be the high-pitched whine of the chainsaw. But with a more gentle reflection on the season of mellow fruitfulness, here are that quintessentially English band, The Kinks, with their autumn almanac.
This is my street, and I'm never gonna leave it.
you make a sudden movement, I'm going to be totally incapacitated. I've got a wire leaning right across my stomach here. There's the Kinks and Autumn Almanac. I was reading an extraordinary story in the paper the other day about a bloke who was completely bald and he rubbed garden fertiliser on his head every day, and now his hair is completely restored. So if you see any bald men following horses around bucket and shovel at the ready, you'll know why. Now then, young man, for heaven's sake, yes, don't make any sudden movements, or I should be torn in two here.
Good evening, the voice processor, Terry Anderson. How are you?
Hello, I'm coping very well here.
Technology has finally caught up with you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has.
It's got you limited, compressed, compounded in every single possible way, electronics.
There is no chance whatsoever that I could pop this microphone.
No, it's really, really remarkable, isn't it? Well, as you probably heard, last week's programme on becoming a yuppie was an astounding success, so much so that the stock market collapsed under the extra burden of all those people trying it out for the first time.
That's right, you've got a heavy burden on your shoulders. You caused the complete breakdown of the Western world's money markets.
Which leads me somewhat tentatively towards this evening's programme.
Very tentatively.
In some ways, you could say, had some similarities, you know, sort of being concerned with rather large bangs. This week, it's do-it-yourself, make an atomic bomb, which is probably about as dangerous a thing as I've ever attempted on radio.
Gosh, sounds tricky.
Well,
you'll be splitting the atom in the next hour.
Yes, splitting the atom, making new things from fissionable masses, and generally creating a bit of a worldwide disturbance.
Crikey, sort of mini Hiroshima in the studio of Clockwork Wireless. Could be nasty. People should take cover under their mattresses, just in case.
Got a few moments to waste, have you? Before the next record.
Well, funny enough, I was going to ask you how the trees are in your neck of the woods, if you excuse the pun. Are there any still left standing?
There's one or two, yes. Fortunately, the devastation wasn't quite as great as it might have been, and the wind was blowing away from the house.
Oh, that's just as well. Because everybody has a really boring anecdote, don't they?
They do. Actually, Hilly, the well-known Hilly's Hot Gossip, provided me with an interesting anecdote a moment ago concerning Def Leppard, who were actually in the studio recording on the night of the storm, and when they came out of the studio to see all the devastation around them, remarked, "I didn't think it was that loud." Quite a nice quote for the week, really.
Well, there's a chap on the main road quite near where I live, on the main road that goes towards Ascot. I live quite a bit away from there, but on the main road, there's a roundabout, and the chap was in a queue of traffic, and this was on Friday afternoon, long after the storm had abated, and he was in this queue of traffic, and suddenly this creaking noise, and a tree, a huge oak tree, came down, and he was in a, I think it was either a Volvo or a BMW estate, and it actually cut his car in two. He was in the front, and it actually, quite genuinely, I saw it on the main road the next day, actually split his car into two bits, and he was so lucky because he just got out the door, locked it. I don't know why he locked it. No one was going to take it away. And just walked away. But the remarkable thing was the tree also brought down a load of electric cables, and they just missed him as well. And the really strange thing is that he was actually on his way to pick up his children from school. And, of course, if he'd been coming the other way, they would have been in the back.
Well, that's certainly right for buying a foreign car. That's
well, that's right.
What can you expect of a Volvo? Fall apart at the slightest provocation.
Apparently so. But we'll be hearing more from you as you don your white coat
and prepare for nuclear devastation on a worldwide scale.
It's all coming up in the next hour with the Intrepid Birdman. But now, listeners, it's time for this.
From news sources around the world, Clockwork Wireless brings you all the news you haven't heard.
Boddington's Brewery must be disappointed that the IBA has ruled that its latest product, Newton & Ridley Canned Bitter, cannot be advertised on television. Why? Well, if the brand name of the beer seems familiar to you, then you're probably a Coronation Street fan. Newton & Ridley Bitter is the ale served in the Rover's Return. So with advertising twice a week, who needs more? Newton & Ridley Bitter is available from Asda, Tesco, Victoria Wine and all leading off licences.
The British motorbike industry has been in the doldrums for quite a few years now, but Norton are hoping to change all that. The company have just released their first civilian motorbike for 10 years, and to go with it, they have unleashed a whole range of goodies, all available through mail order. You can have Norton pens, briefcases and filofaxes, as well as the more obvious bike-related products. If you would like to buy any of the Norton Yuppiebilia, the catalogue will be given away with the Sunday Times in early November.
Richard Branson's transatlantic crossing has inspired him to start a new venture called the Balloon and Airship Company. The company intend to sell advertising space on the side of huge balloons, and they also intend to use the balloons to fly tourists to their destinations. Branson says, "Commercial passenger flying has never been properly organised before, and we intend to start flying in Egypt by December and in India next February."
If you bank with the NatWest, take a good look at your next statement. Up to now, if you've got a cash withdrawal on it that you've felt is incorrect, the bank wouldn't let you dispute it. The sum would still be taken from your account. The bank always assumes that the fault is yours, even though you have religiously kept your PIN number under lock and key. But now a gang of four people have been caught with 1,800 forged cash cards, which they've used to take £100,000 from hole-in-the-wall cash dispensers. Perhaps this case will stop the bank's policy of assuming that all cash card withdrawals are legitimate. So if you feel this has happened to you, press for action.
A legal get-rich-quick scheme has been discovered by three German students in Cologne. They got a printout of the programme that runs the fruit machine in their local pub, worked out when the jackpot was about to be paid out, and took three machines for the jackpot in the space of 5 minutes. That should help stretch out the grant.
Clockwork Wireless News. Don't forget where you heard it first.
Compiled and presented by Alex Wright and Busby Barclay, the Michael Dennison and Dulcie Gray of Clockwork Wireless. That was Clockwork Wireless News. Our final story this week comes... our final news story this week comes from the regional press. Mr Alan Black of the Nottingham Health Authority has had to apologise to the 10 people who attended his first Why Worry anti-anxiety course after the caretaker of the school in which they were meeting locked them in for the night. I bet that did their anxiety the world of good. This is from the 12-inch single Butcher the Classics, Kill Ugly Pop and Purple Haze.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Well, this has certainly been an entertaining programme for me. I can tell you, it's Kill Ugly Pop and Purple Haze. Nearly time for me to go and have my little piece of chocolate cake, which will be an enormous relief, I can tell you. Clockwork Wireless, and the address once again, if you'd like to write in for any of those bits and pieces, is Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. So it's goodbye from me. I hope you can join me next week at 7. And in the meantime, stand by for the intrepid Birdman, complete with his meat cleaver to split the atom. It's all coming up in the next hour on Clockwork Wallace. And hopefully you'll be with me next week. Until then, cheerio. We'll be right back.
from the foot of Mount Belzoni.
Excuse me, and there'll be a slightly longer than usual pause while I get Terry Anderson's beer bottles out from underneath the chair and rearrange the papers. Wind the chair down to its correct height.